The first lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning with verse 1. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to you, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you, to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of God. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 99. We'll read it responsively in your bulletin. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble.
He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he.
The king in his might loves justice.
You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name.
They called to the Lord, and he answered them.
In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them.
You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain.
For the Lord our God is holy.
The second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise as we are able for our gospel verse, Halle, Halle, Hallelujah. Halle, Halle, Hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. I invite the youth that are present to come forward for a children's message. Sit here by Addison. Mm-hmm. You sit here by Addison. Hey, yeah, big guys can come up here too, can't they, Luke? Yes. I want to see if you guys recognize this. Do you recognize these words? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You recognize those? Yeah, it's the battle hymn of the Republic, and then it ends with, Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory. It's a big word, isn't it? Glory is a big word. Do you know what the word glory means? Oh, good idea. Come on. Yeah, glory, right? Something that is glorious. Glory is about awesome and beautiful and majestic, right? Have you ever heard somebody use the phrase, Your Majesty? When do we say a word like Your Majesty? A prince, a princess, a king, a queen, royalty, right? Somebody that's in a palace, somebody that's on the throne, somebody that calls the shots and that's in charge, right? Yeah, Your Majesty. And so we see that they are kind of sitting in glory, in glory, and God shows us his glory in Jesus. In all of the things that Jesus does and says, and especially when Jesus is lifted up on a cross. So God wants us to see his glory, just like John and James and Peter got to see Moses and Elijah with Jesus on a mountain called Transfiguration, right? They got to see Jesus changed, and he lit up, so he was majestic, and he was glorious, right? Now, there's lots of ways we can see. We can see with our eyes, or sometimes if we listen really well, we can say, oh, I heard that, now I see. Or with our nose, we can smell, or taste, or touch. Lots of ways to see, right? God wants us to see his glory. So, majesty, your majesty, it's all about somebody being on a throne, right? So, who's on the throne in your life? Who's the boss? Who calls the shots? Jesus, yeah. And then here on earth, Jesus says, well, I think you might need somebody else to help you out. So God gives a mom and a dad to little Luke, right? Right? So God gives us moms and dads. So in the family, in the home, who's the boss? Probably mom and dad, right? In school, who's the boss?
teacher, principal, right? In the church, who's the boss? Well, God is, right? And then sometimes God lets the pastor make some decisions, right? Right? But we're supposed to, whether we're moms and dads or principals or teachers or pastors, all of us are trying to make decisions, remembering that who's on the throne? Jesus. He has all the majesty, right? When I went on a CMAC mission trip with, there's Larry. Hi, Larry. You see Larry? He was the boss. Really. He coordinates it. He runs it. He tells people what to do. But there was another guy there named Randy, right? And so Randy was kind of in charge too. And then at different houses where we worked, there were other people that were, and I said, you know what I said? Because I'm used to being a boss, right? You know what I did? I said, just tell me what to do. I didn't care. I just wanted to do the best I could, and I knew that there are other people that were in charge that could help me do my best job. That's a good kind of leader, isn't it? When you have a leader who knows that the real boss, the person on the throne, is Jesus. So God wants us to see his glory, and God wants us to share and show his glory. So I'm going to give you a gift, because Lent is starting, right? You can't get it yet, but this is going to be on the back table. And do you know what's in this tube? Oh, yeah, there used to be M&Ms in here. But I ate them all up, right? Because I like chocolate. Well, I've got M&Ms back there. And between now and Fat Tuesday night, if you take one of these, you need to eat up all the M&Ms. Because during Lent, I want you to have an empty tube. And during Lent, if you want to, talk to your moms and dads because they're in charge, right? And you can say, well, do we want just one for the family? Or do we want one for each person in the family? And do we want to put pennies in it? Because you can get 90 pennies in this, and that's almost a dollar. Or you can get 70 nickels in here, and that's $3.50. Or you can get 100 dimes in here. Can you believe it? 100 dimes in here. And that is $10. Now, I'm going to be putting quarters in mine. And if I fill up this whole thing with quarters, you know how much will be in here? $18.75. Seriously. But the whole reason for this, for little kids and big kids, is so that we can remember that the sweetest thing in our life is Jesus, not M&Ms. And he goes to the cross to die for our sins. And the money that's going to be in here is going to be used for the Emmanuel Hospitality House, so that when people come to Rochester, we can help them to see Jesus and God's glory. Let's pray together, okay? Dear Jesus, help me to see your glory and to share your glory with others. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Littles, they've got a lot of stuff that they pack. Right, Luke? Don't forget anything, okay? All right, same thing with little Hopi. They're busy when they're little. Some of you remember when your kids were little, and they were busy, right? Yeah, they were busy. Tonight, I want you to think about the opening words of Psalm 99. Because the psalmist proclaims the truth. Who is in charge? Who's the boss? Who's on the throne? Who calls the shot? Where does the buck stop? The psalmist proclaims the truth. The Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters, that means Yahweh, that means the great I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is no other God. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. That's the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the worship place. Let the earth shake. Not because of trepidation and fear, but because of awe. when the Lord is on the throne in our lives, as the Lord is supreme, potentate of time, the ruler of the kings of the earth, well, then we do shake and tremble with awe and reverence for Almighty God. The buck stops here. Some of you may remember a president by the name of Harry S. Truman, before my time. But we do know the name because on his desk he had a gift that a friend had given, and it was a piece of wood that had a message on each side. On the one side it said, the buck stops here. On the other side it said, I'm from Missouri. Well, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States, was from Missouri, which, as you know, is the show me state, a good state for Epiphany, a good state for all of us to be in Epiphany, the show me, let me see you, Jesus, let me see your glory, God, right? The show me state. I'm from Missouri. Skeptical people. They want to see. The buck stops here. Harry S. Truman, unlike so many people in our culture today that want to play the victim, that want to say, it's not my fault, that want to take credit for everything good and want to pass the buck and blame and scapegoat for everything that goes wrong, living in the world that we do nowadays, where everything is about individual autonomy and I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it, right now, to be precise. Get out of my way. You know? That's the world we live in. But Harry S. Truman said, no, the buck stops here. That means I am responsible. I am responsible. So who's in charge? Well, the Lord reigns. God is on the throne. Recognize these words? This is my Father's world. Oh, let me not forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. That's what Psalm 99 is proclaiming. I mean, things may be collapsing and falling apart around us, but don't forget who's in charge. Don't forget who's the boss. Don't forget that in everything, God has determined to work for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. There's an author by the name of Peg Rankin. And Peg Rankin, in one of her books, defines God's sovereignty. God's being in charge. The buck stops here. She says God's sovereignty is that God can do anything God wants to do, whenever God wants to do it, however God wants to do it, whenever, wherever, however, with whoever God chooses to do it. Because God is on the throne. And God is in charge. Now, I realize there's going to be people who say, no, my name is Kim Norton, I'm the mayor, I'm in charge. Or my name is Tim Walz, I'm the governor, I'm in charge. Or my name is Nancy Pelosi, and I'm in charge. Or my name is Donald Trump, and I'm in charge. I beg to differ. And I'm in good company because Scripture begs to differ. They are leaders and servants only insofar as they serve the glory of God. It's all about God's glory. It's all about God's will and God's holy purposes. God is in charge. God reigns even without our knowing it or even in spite of our opposition to it. our God reigns. God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. We sing it not just because it's a cute hymn. We sing it because we believe it. The psalmist proclaims the truth. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is seated, enthroned upon the cherubim, the mercy seat. Let the earth shake and quake. I read a story the other day about a woman whose name is Beppi. She's a great-grandmother, 96 years old. Her hands are kind of gnarled. She's worked hard most of her life, and she's prayed hard all of her life. She's a Christ follower, Beppi, and there was a special occasion in the family. Her great-grandchild was getting married. It was a family gathering, a family celebration. But all of a sudden, Beppi found herself with family gathered in a room where there were tears and where there was sadness and sorrow. You see, they had heard that Uncle Bob, his plane had crashed in the mountains, and four people on board were coming to the wedding celebration. And now they were waiting. And as they waited, there was silence and there was weeping in the room, and then word came that they had found the wreckage and all aboard the plane had died. Now, what do you say on occasion? Because this is like right before the wedding music is going to play. This is right before the bride is walking down the aisle and great-grandma Beppi is there. What do you say when something like that happens in your world and everything collapses? Well, great-grandma Beppi, she broke the silence and she said, God has spoken. God will provide. God is in charge. That's all she said. From the bowels of her faith, she spoke. And she proclaimed the truth. God has spoken. God will provide. God is in charge. Now, about 8 days later, that's how our gospel reading for tonight begins. The Mount of Transfiguration story in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Now, about 8 days later. Well, 8 days later after what? Throughout the Gospel of Luke, we've been hearing about the teaching and the preaching of Jesus, the sermon on the level plain. We've been hearing about all the healings, the casting out of demons, the making the sick well. Because God is in charge. Now, after about 8 days, immediately preceding our gospel for tonight, Jesus has been walking with his disciples, and he says, who do the crowd say that I am? And then he looks at the disciples and says, and who do you say that I am? And Peter gives the definitive answer. You are the Christ. And then Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this. And then he proceeds to give his first passion proclamation that the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem and is going to be shamefully crucified on a cross. And then after announcing what's going to happen to the Christ, Jesus says, and those who are followers of the Christ had better look good on what? He says, if you are going to follow me, you need to take up your cross and deny yourself. And then he says something that only the one who's seated on the throne and who is in charge can say, the potentate of time, the sovereign one. He says, whoever would save their life must lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel will save it. And then Jesus says, whoever is ashamed of me and my word, of that one will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in his glory. When he comes in his glory. Now, about 8 days later, you see, God is going to give a taste of his glory. And because Jesus is in charge, I don't think he asked for volunteers. I think he simply said, I need to do some praying. I'm going up on the mountain. You, and you. James, John, Peter. Get up that mountain. I mean, he can do that. He can say that. Why? Well, because he's the Lord. Because he's in charge, for crying out loud. He's sovereign. He's the potentate of time. It was Peg Rankin, remember, who said, the sovereignty of God means that God can do whatever God wants to do, whenever God wants to do it, however God wants to do it, whenever, wherever, and with whomever. Because God's the boss. The buck stops here. Jesus says, I am. I am responsible. Ego e me. The Lord is responsible. He takes responsibility for us and for all that's near and dear to him. God has spoken. God will provide. God is in charge. Genesis 22, remember those words? It was Abraham being commanded by the boss to go up to Mount Moriah and up on Mount Moriah to sacrifice his only son, the son whom he loved, Isaac, the child of promise. And Abraham went. He obeyed. He listened. He goes up to the mountain. And it was Isaac who said, well, we got the wood, we got the fire, we got the altar. It looks like you got the knife. We got everything except, where's the lamb? And remember what Abraham said? The Lord will provide himself the sacrifice. And a ram in the thicket. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know the rest of that story. Abraham called the place on Mount Moriah. He named it on the Mount of the Lord God Almighty will provide. God will provide. And 2,000 years later, almost 2,000 years later, on that same mountain, Golgotha, God provided his only son for the forgiveness of our sins. God has spoken. God will provide. God is in charge. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples, James, John, Peter, they're really tired. And all of a sudden, Elijah and Moses, great pillars from the Old Testament, they appear. Now, we know from our first lesson for tonight that Moses got to see the promised land, but didn't get to enter it. You can find out why in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. God let him see it to taste but not touch the glory. And then Moses died and God buried him. And Elijah, well, he got taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And in both of the cases, the successor was named by God. Joshua, you're taking over now for Moses. Elisha, you're taking over now for Elijah. Well, why? Well, because God said so. Weren't you listening? See? On the Mount of Transfiguration, what is it that Elijah and Moses are talking about with Jesus? His departure. What? Well, the word is actually Exodus. His Exodus. Something way more important is about to happen in Jerusalem than 10 plagues, and the liberation of captives from Egypt. Something way more important is going to happen in Jerusalem in the days ahead than, well, Elijah having this contest on Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal. You know that story. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is going to give his life on the cross to liberate us, to set us free from sin and death and the devil, because he's in charge. Mine eyes have seen the glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. God's truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God's truth is marching on. Well, the vision comes to a close, and, well, the only one that's left, the only one that remains, is Jesus. They have heard a voice in a cloud. The same voice speaks that spoke at the baptism of Jesus. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. What does it mean to listen? To the one who is the potentate of time. To the one who reigns. For the one who is actually in charge of all things. What does it mean? A priest by the name of Father John was teaching the theology of faith at the university. And a freshman student in his class was a young man named Tommy, 18, 19 years old, and he was an avowed atheist. Or, Father John said, he was, well, our atheist in residence. Now, on the last day of the class, it was Tommy who came up and said, well, Professor, thanks for a great class. I'm still an atheist. And then he said, do you think that I'll ever find God? He said it kind of cynically. And then it was Father John who said, no. No, I don't think you're ever going to find God. And so Tommy starts walking toward the door to exit the classroom. He takes about 5 steps, and Father John says, but I am absolutely sure that God is going to find you. Well, a few years later, Father John Paul heard that Tommy had graduated from the university, 22 years old, and then a couple years later, he heard that Tommy had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He thought, oh, I'd like to see him and talk to him. Well, all of a sudden, there's a knock on his door, and guess who's knocking at Father John Powell's door? Tommy. Tommy came in, and he says to the professor, he said, surprised to see me. He said, well, actually, I was going to try to find you, Tommy. And I heard that you're really sick. He said, yep. I heard that it's terminal. And Tommy said, that's right. He said, you want to talk about it? And Father John said, yeah. So what's the question, Tom asked. And he says, well, Father John goes, what's it like to be 24 years old and to know that you're going to die soon? And this is what Tom said. He said, well, it's a lot better than being 50 years old and not having any values or any dreams or any life. It's a lot better than being 50 years old and thinking that life is all about money and possessions and broads and booze. But the reason I came to see you today, Father John, is because I remember what you said. You said to me once that you didn't think that I would ever find God, but that God would find me. And I remember something else from your class. You said, wouldn't it be terrible to live your whole life and not live? Wouldn't it be sad to live your whole life, to be born, to live, to die, and to have never told someone that you love that you love them. Well, I took those words of yours to heart. And I did one of the hardest things in the world. I went home and I saw my dad. He was reading the newspaper. And I said, "Dad, I need to talk to you about something." My dad lowered the paper just a little bit so I could see his eyes. And I said, "It's really serious, Dad. And it's really important." He lowered the paper all the way. And my dad said, "Tommy, what do you want to talk about?" He said, "Dad, I need to tell you that I love you." And then Tommy told Father John, "My dad did two things that I had never seen before. My dad started to weep and cry. And then he got up and he gave me a hug. And that's the first time I can ever remember my dad crying or giving me a hug. Then I went and told my mom and my brother that I love them. And then suddenly, as time passed, I realized that what you said was true. God had found me. With the love of Jesus, God had found me, even when I was no longer looking for Him. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Majesty, awesome, beauty beyond belief, the glory of God. The psalmist proclaims the truth. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. The Lord is seated on the cherubim. Let the earth quake. Listen to Him. For God's sake, listen to Him. And what does Jesus say? There's a cross. There's a cross for you and for me. And it's all about saving and losing our lives. What is it Jesus says? I mean, if we're going to really hear what He says, well, the last 2 weeks, the sermon on the level plain. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, do good to those who hate you, give the shirt off of your back. Turn the other cheek. Forgive as your Father in heaven forgives you. Show mercy to others as your Heavenly Father shows mercy to you. Who knows? Maybe even pick up a few of these. Right? Share the sweet treat with others and say, "This is to remind you that there's nothing sweeter than Jesus." And then fill it up with some coins. Or as the council said, you can put cash in here. I mean, it can be bills or it can be a check too. Right, Don? I mean, they said it at council. You could write out a check. But only do it to share and show the glory of God in the face of Christ. The buck stops here. Jesus is Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.